Yossi Rubin and David Fadida present Lo Yisagoi. All right, so we should only have joy. Even though it's Holocaust Remembrance Day, we need to have joy. All right, so here's one more little bissel from the Yiddish collection of Cantor Yossel of Rosenblatt, Zog Zeh Rabbeinu. Ah.
Als Messias wird kommen, wenn wir machen aus den Jungen. Und wenn wir retten wollen zu den Jungen, dem Schor am Ohr mit Livia Ulsson. Dem Schor am Ohr mit Livia
Time travel is coming at you. See you next week. Don't be late.
Hello, sir.
Watch this.
Watch what?
Let's see. Body oil, check. Incense, check. Environmental records, double check.
I'm gonna get some serious draws tonight, think I ain't?
Let's see. If I tell Gilbert Rome to meet me at 11 and I creep at 10, that'll give me an hour of free reign. More draws, more draws.
9:30, getting dressed. I had a couple sips of wine. Boom, I swear to God, my suit was hanging fine. Everybody at the club, feet, when I stepped from my limousine. They said, ooh, it's good to see. I said, oh, it's good to be seen, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what's good, it's a good thing we live close, cause I almost suffocated in that car. Next time I won't wear so much Paco Rabini or whatever that's done. I wonder if they got potato chips up in this. Man, this ain't like them house parties we used to go to. That's all right. I'm clean.
Tonight, hey, I'm a movie star. I see myself on a silver screen. Tonight, it don't matter who you are. I'm the only star on the scene. You know what I mean?
Man, I hate making movies. I like that money. Think I don't? Check me out. I just walk in, don't even find a seat. Just threw my coat right on the floor. Grab somebody for a quick dance. Boy, girl, don't matter no more. I'm hot. Shit. Mix was right. Bold. Lloyd.
Ouch. I see myself up on the silver screen. Tonight, it don't matter, I'm the star on the scene. Ouch!
Mix was right on the one to kick drum. Hit a triple beat, baby, I was popping. Did one spin, did second, did splits. Came up, looked around, the joint was hopping. Hopping! Was hopping. Somebody say movie star. So check it out. You wanna dance?
Are you wearing that Paco Rabbit or whatever you call it?
Oh wow, that's dumb.
What? Speak up. I can't hear over that suit.
Maybe you can hear this.
Am I supposed to be impressed?
That's right, Rolls Royce. Check it out, baby. You wanna dance?
Maybe next song.
Yeah, right. Dance floor is not big enough. Let's creep. I had enough of this action. Bartender, on the house. Give everybody in here some. Man, I don't care. I got money to spare. You're cute and your music's thumping. Yo, baby, get the check.
Yo, baby, my behind. I need my money.
Say, brothers, can I get some credit? No! Much money I spend in this nasty joint? You need to be slapped. Darling, shall we leave now? Go to Hades, boy! So you like my crib? It's not mine, it's rented. Say, how much did you have to drink?
Was the biggest lake you've ever been in.
So do you like environmental records? Crickets chirping, water rushing. Supposed to make you horny, just make me want to go to the bathroom. Actually, this one's not bad, check it out. So like, what's your name? Oh wow, that's dumb.
And now, before the next show starts, let's enjoy an intermission. You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn, a complete assortment of delicious candy, and a full line of cigarettes. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now. A tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show. For your convenience, we shall keep you informed of the remaining intermission time, 3 minutes before the next show starts. The next show will start in 2 minutes.
Just a minute, folks. Yes, that's all it takes to visit our refreshment counter in the lobby. There you'll find popcorn and an assortment of popular candy bars to please every taste. Try one of these delicious candy bars. Big Time, Butternut, Milkshake, Payday. Topped with Hollywood's super rich coating of the kind you like best. They taste wonderful, they're delicious, they're nutritious. Get one at our confection counter in the lobby now.
The next show will start in 1 minute.
Hello, Medford, Massachusetts. You're listening to a new radio show called Watch This on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle, former host of Time Travel with Chris Earle. And thank you for listening, and thanks for watching the show. Over the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about movies. I looked at my Blu-rays and DVDs and Laserdiscs and old VHS tapes I had, and it turns out I had just as many movies as I did CDs, records, and cassettes. So, finally created a new show for 2018 after doing 10 years of time travel, because I thought, well, you know what? A movie tells you a hell of a lot more than just one song about a person. So, today, my guest is a longtime listener and guest of my recently retired show, Time Travel with Chris Searle. But more importantly, he's my big little brother. Today's guest is Mr. George Wolfenden. Hey, George.
How are you?
Doing pretty well. Be back in a moment. It is Watch This on WMFO Medford. We're going to start off with George's five flicks, a movie discussion, and some soundtracks. Here's the first one.
Hello, Ghostbusters. Yes, of course they're serious. You do? You have? No kidding. Uh-huh. Well, just give me the address. Yes, of course. Oh, they'll be totally discreet. Thank you. We got one!
The car!
Gonna tell you a story about a little town I know. They had a real big problem with some big, mean local ghosts. Those spooks were making the whole city control.
So the first movie that George picks on his five flicks today is Ghostbusters from 1984. We have the soundtrack. It was done by Elmer Bernstein in the background. So tell me why you picked this one, George.
You know, a lot of movies have been popping up on Netflix lately. This is one of those 80s favorites that's shown up on the streaming.
Mm-hmm.
In the past month or so, so I've had the good fortune of being able to binge watch it about three more times in the past month.
Yeah, this week I ended up watching this and Ghostbusters 2. I actually watched them one night, and then I watched number two the second night. So this was directed by Ivan Reitman, starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd from SNL, of course. Both were really hot at the time. Harold Ramis, Sigourney Weaver. Rick Moranis, who I think is probably my favorite character out of both movies.
Yeah,
it's like every time you see him, he's got the best lines and he's doing something funny. And Ernie Hudson. So the plot is three former parapsychology professors set up shop as a unique ghost removal service. If you haven't seen it before, I'm sure most people know about Ghostbusters. It was done by Columbia Pictures. It's rated PG. The runtime was an hour and 45 minutes. Most of Bill Murray's lines were actually ad-libbed in the movie. Some other trivia here. Belushi was to play Peter Venkman, which would have probably made a different movie, you know, with John Belushi playing Peter Venkman. Because at the time, he was doing buddy movies with Dan Aykroyd, and he did, like, Neighbors, and he was kind of playing the straight man, you know, and doing Continental Divide, I think the name of it was. So it would have been interesting to see what Belushi would have done with it.
How he would have played that character. I would have assumed a lot more... physical comedy, maybe.
Yeah.
Belushi's take.
Yeah, I think so, instead of being kind of like just wise guy like Bill Murray was.
Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy was supposed to play Winston.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I guess since he started getting hot, he wanted too much money, so they ended up getting Ernie Hudson, and then they had Ernie Hudson go in toward later in the film. They were going to have Eddie Murphy in the beginning of the movie, and he was going to be the one that got slimed, by Slimer in the library at the beginning.
How was his relationship with the SNL guys in 1984? Did that have anything to do with him?
That was probably it too. Yeah. You know, he did. He still was under contract. He already had Beverly Hills Cop and Trading Places and 48 Hours done. So he was a huge star.
That was Dan Aykroyd. That's right. So obviously he must have still been on some pretty good terms with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just too much going on. He was so hot in 1984.
Mm-hmm. Here's a nice little cell phone thing in the background for Ghostbusters. Yeah. Got Ray Parker Jr. in the background with Ghostbusters title theme. So there was another piece that I saw here. At one point, the movie, it had a budget of $30 million. And it made $238 million that summer, 1984. It was a huge hit. It's a huge summer blockbuster. Ivan Reitman, to keep the interest going in Ghostbusters, he ran a commercial, the same commercial that they used in the Ghostbusters movie, but with a 555 number replaced with a 1-800 number, allowing people to actually call in. And they got a recorded message of Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd saying, basically, "Hi, we're out catching ghosts right now." And over 6 weeks, they got 1,000 calls an hour, 24 hours a day for 6 weeks, basically just calling into the Ghostbusters line to hear Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd say that they were, look, out busting ghosts. So it was a huge, huge hit at the time. So again, 1984 Ghostbusters. So who's your favorite Ghostbuster?
My favorite Ghostbuster. I have to go Egon lately. Last few watches, I've been catching some of the liners he's dropped.
Yeah, he's got
appreciated
a bunch of good lines
too, I think, as I get older. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, a lot of stuff with Bill Murray I notice kind of falls flat, especially in the second movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And watching the second one, it kind of falls apart about two-thirds in. But the original Ghostbusters is pretty great. Considering there was only two movies that were made, you know, it just became a huge icon of the 80s, as well as, you know, just movies in general. Yeah.
I mean, essentially it is a franchise without being a trilogy.
Yeah.
Which is rare, right?
Yeah. And what was interesting is in between one and two, there was a cartoon called The Real Ghostbusters. It came out in 1986 and it had like 100 and something episodes. And they actually had Slimer as like their pet. At the
firehouse.
He's a sidekick. So they weren't going to have Slimer in the second movie, but since they were in the cartoon and it was a big hit, they put Slimer in the movie in number two.
Do you remember the Hi-C flavor Ecto Cooler?
I do.
The 80s?
And then they came out with that again when Ghostbusters Remake was done the year before last, which was horrible.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I couldn't finish it.
Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible.
And that's not a knock on anyone in the film. It's just, I don't know. You just can't remake a classic like
that,
I guess.
It's just like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
It's like enough already, you know? But yeah, so original Ghostbusters 1984, Ivan Reitman. Great, great flick. And there's a neat link I got here with Harold Ramis, which is actually the scriptwriter for the next movie that you picked for your five flicks today. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I'm going to play a little bit more here, the soundtrack to Ghostbusters, and then we'll move on to your second of the five flicks today. So tell me something a little bit more, another memory about Ghostbusters you got. Did you see it in the theater?
I didn't see it in the theater. I was
too
young. Yeah. So I was kind of like one of those kids in the 80s who would probably watch the cartoon before I had seen the movie, so I had no idea that Slimer wasn't part of the gang. I thought he was a sidekick from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was the first ghost they busted.
Right, right.
So, I think my favorite part is, I think I picked up on Bill Murray's ad-libbed lines. I think a lot of his just actions were ad-libbed. I think there's a scene in the park, or like Union Square Park, where he's just mimicking like a mime that just happened to be there. I don't think the mime was part of the set. I just think he was some mime hanging out in the park, and Bill Murray just starts spinning
doing a
around.
Spin. Yeah, I love that too.
I love it.
It's actually a great soundtrack too. Like, the score is really good by Elmer Bernstein. And you don't really notice it until you watch the movie again. And when I was putting together the show today, I'm like, well, of course, you're going to put Ghostbusters on there, Ray Parker Jr. But you hear, like, this soundtrack is just amazing by him. And it's kind of creepy, but it's kind of joyful and upbeat, too, with that dun, 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 dun.
It's got that New York vibe, too.
And it's got a New York vibe.
Watching a movie and taking place in New York when you hear it.
Another reason why Ghostbusters was huge, because it was set right in New York.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, just a fantastic movie. I wish they had done number three. And if you've got a PS3, you can actually play Ghostbusters. And it's pretty much Ghostbusters 3. You got Bill Murray, you got Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Harold Ramis doing their voices in the actual video game. So you could actually play Ghostbusters 3 on the PlayStation 3 as a video game.
Some video games are better than movies.
Mm-hmm. I remember there were so many people talking about this during the summer. I was in 7th grade. And in Tewksbury, where we lived, there was actually a haunted house. Like, there was a family that went out of their way to actually pretend or whatever was there. They said they were in a haunted house and things were moving around and people were actually flocking. Like, news teams were flocking to the house.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. I don't want to say the people's names because they're still in Tewksbury. But, yeah, they created an entire house that was haunted, supposedly, and became a big deal for a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty wild. So this is Ghostbusters, Elmer Bernstein in the background. And coming up next, George's second of the five flicks is Back to School. We will talk about that in a moment here on Watch This with Chris Earle on WMFO here in Medford. My guest today is George Wolfenden.
guess who's getting some class?
I'm going to college.
Rodney Dangerfield's going back to school.
And that's what I call marine biology. Hey, boys, here's a couple of pens in case you learn how to write, okay? When I used to dream about going to college, this is the way I always pictured it.
Wait a minute, when did you dream about going to college?
When I used to fall asleep in high school.
Here's a book on sex education.
Let me see that.
The world's oldest living freshman.
Well, he left out the most important thing. Where to get it?
Science!
Good teacher. He really seems to care. About what, I have no idea. A little something for the kids, okay? Take that, it's okay, huh?
I don't have any kids.
No, because we're here. Get yourself some kids. We're here. Take it all right?
What a woman.
She is the teacher.
I know, I like teachers. Do something wrong, to make you do it over again.
What do you say you and I have dinner tonight?
Actually, I'd like to join you, but I have class tonight.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
He's not just the big man on campus.
Hey, folks, it's on me. Shakespeare for everyone, okay? You too, honey. Ooh, I'd like to tame your shrew.
He's the wildest man on campus.
Shake it up, baby!
Say when.
Right after this drink.
Rodney Dangerfield, back to school.
Baby. Come on, I'll work it all out.
We're giving social media a makeover.
How many tries does it take to get the perfect photo?
The average girl spends 3 hours a day using social media.
48% of teens report feeling lonely and less confident in themselves after using social media.
After the iPhone release in 2007, the depression rate in teens spiked.
To learn how to make social media a more positive place, go to MediaGirls.org. Follow Media Girls on Instagram and use the hashtag MGMakeover.
All right, number two on George's five flicks today. Back to School, 1986. Comedy, another comedy. First one is a comedy. Directed by a guy named Alan Metter, who did Girls Just Want to Have Fun and Police Academy 6, Mission to Moscow. Probably one of the top Police Academy movies, Mission to Moscow. At least the sixth or seventh.
Yeah,
best.
I lost count.
At least the sixth or seventh best Police Academy movie. So yeah, so this guy really did not much. He did a couple of comedies, and at this point when he directed this movie, he was in his 50s too, which is interesting because Rodney was as well. And this was pretty much this is when he got super huge. As soon as this movie hit, he was bigger than ever. He was always a star, but he was bigger than ever. It starred Dangerfield, Sally Kellerman, who was the Wishbone Lady, I think. She did the
Hidden Valley Ranch.
She had that saucy lips.
Come to Hidden Valley.
Come to Hidden Valley Ranch. Yeah, Burt Young, who was Rocky's brother-in-law in the Rocky movies. Keith Gordon, who was also in Christine and looks like Walter Vasinkovich. Like, he looks just like him. And Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. is in this.
That's right.
Pre-Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., who was just getting off of Weird Science and was also in Less Than Zero, I think the year after Back to School. So he was just starting out his career.
Yeah.
To help his discouraged son get through college, a fun-loving, obnoxious, rich businessman decides to enter the school as a student himself. That's the plot for Back to School. MGM Studios made it. It was rated PG-13. Runtime 1 hour and 36 minutes, which was basically great for any comedy, is around the 80 or 90 minute mark. The soundtrack, this was interesting, was only released as an LP. It was later, the score was on CD with Pee-wee's Big Adventure. You have Rodney Dangerfield in it. Michael Bolton, interestingly, singing like metal rock and roll. Oingo Boingo, and also Aretha Franklin. So tell me why'd you pick this one, George? 1986, Back to School, all these one-liners, or what was it?
This has got to be one of my favorite 80s comedies ever. Mm-hmm. I think I watched this every day when I came home from school one year.
Mm-hmm.
We had it on a VHS tape, and I just wore the thing out.
Yeah, I still have this on VHS.
That might be the same. Well, maybe you do.
It's not the same one. I know I picked it up at a flea market for like 50 cents. I'm like, I got to get Back to School. It was, so it's the VHS of Back to School. What was interesting is Harold Ramis, who was in Ghostbusters, played Egon. He wrote the script for Back to School.
There's something coming here.
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay with a couple other guys, including Rodney. Rodney came up with the story. But in the original script, they wanted him to be poor. And Harold Ramis said, no, make him rich. So basically he owns the school as soon as he gets there and can basically, get more friends and stuff. So that was his idea. The school, this is interesting. The house that's used for the Doyle house is where Jamie Lee Curtis babysat in Halloween. So it's the same house they used in Halloween as in this movie.
I wonder how many other movies it was used in.
Yeah. I don't know. And then due to Rodney's contractual obligations with Miller Beer, every beer in the movie has to be Miller Beer. So they show scenes where he's getting beer out of the refrigerator. It's filled with Miller Beer. And at one point, you hear it in the trailer. Steve Sweeney is actually in it. Steve Sweeney plays a policeman.
He's a cop.
Yeah. He shows up at it. He's the one that says, you don't have any kids. Well, I'll give you some money and go buy some kids. Yeah. So Sweeney shows up at it. He also, Sam Kinison, of course, shows up in it.
Yeah.
And he actually wanted Jim Carrey to be in the movie, but Jim Carrey didn't show up at all. That was another interesting thing because Jim Carrey was actually working with Rodney at the time, too. He was still coming up as a stand-up.
Was he on the young comedian circuit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he eventually showed up on one of Roddy's HBO specials, which were huge at the time. I mean, that was really one of the only ways you could see the big stand-up specials was if you had HBO.
Yeah.
It was a cheap way to produce a special. And Rodney Dangerfield, quite a few with Sam Kinison, and Roseanne was on there, and Jim Carrey, and a whole bunch of others. Lenny Clark, I remember, was on there. One of the things in the movie, too, is a note of trivia. When Derek, who's the son, starts experimenting at the dorm party with a soundboard, when he turns it on, it makes the exact same sound as a proton pack in Ghostbusters, which was, of course, a homage to the writer, Harold Ramis, who helped out. And this part was interesting, too. Tex-Mex restaurant Moe's Southwest Grill has something called the Triple Lindy on it, which, of course, is the dive that Thornton Mellon does in the movie. It's got a 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb for a rating. It cost $11 million to make, and it made $91 million in box office total at the movie, so it did pretty well. So tell me a little bit more about Back to School. I'm going to play a little Michael Bolton in the background here. So tell me a little story about Back to School, George. Anything else you remember about
it? I used to crack up at the scene where Robert Downey Jr.'s just messing with the opposing diving team divers.
Uh-huh.
He takes like a mirror out of a woman's purse and starts flashing glare in some guy's eye.
Mm-hmm.
I think he picks up an air horn and just lets it go off as the other guys try to do a cannonball or something.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just lost it every time at those two stupid scenes.
Yeah.
I thought he was an underappreciated character in that movie.
Oh yeah, he's great in it.
Derek Lutz.
It was so funny. I love the pool scene at the beginning too, when he's making the sandwich. Basically, every time we would make a giant sandwich, he'd be like, "Watch my sandwich." Yeah,
and the way he held the knife, I forget.
he holds like three fingers and then cuts in between like the three fingers to cut the sandwich.
We're glossing over another important character, I think, in this movie, Chad Osborne, the actor who played the lead bad, the
bad guy,
the blonde bad guy, was basically the 80s bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the leader of the Cobra Khan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Dojo,
yeah,
he should,
yeah,
kid.
He shows up. He shows up and Back to School.
I wish I could pull his name out off the top of my head, but I can't.
Let me see. I'll look it up.
But that guy's legendary.
So this is Michael Bolton in the background. Sounds like Sammy Hagar a little, doesn't it?
I always assumed this was Sammy Hagar. This is the coolest I've ever heard.
Michael Bolton.
Yeah, exactly. So he had like a rock metal, and it and it sounds almost exactly like Sammy Hagar, you know, 80s rock.
This is the caveman party, I feel like.
Yeah, it's called Everybody's Crazy. William Zabka as Chaz Osbourne, who is, of course, going to be in Cobra Kai on YouTube Red. That looks pretty cool. Did you see the trailer for that? Oh, dude, you got to see the trailer for it.
It's a sequel?
It's a Karate Kid, yeah.
And it's called Cobra Kai?
Yeah.
Is he the head of the...
He's the head.
He's the,
yeah, he's the lead, and Ralph Macchio is in it, too.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's yeah, it looks really good.
Is Pat Morita, is he still with us?
No, he's dead. Yeah, but they end up have the two of them like kind of face off, and they have a whole new bunch of bullies. So he decides to reopen the Cobra Kai school, and then Daniel decides, you know, to try to train people the right way. You know, that's what we get out of it.
I just hope Mercedes Rule is still in it as Daniel's mom.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, he always played the... He was in Just One of the Guys, too. Remember that movie? That used to be on HBO.
That's right.
HBO,
that was an HBO staple.
William Zabka showed up in that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he got residuals on these movies. No wonder he hasn't been doing anything. He's probably gotten all of his money from his 80s movies. But, yeah, this is a pretty good tune, actually, for
Michael Bolton. This is Michael Bolton.
Yeah. It's called Everybody's Crazy. And you got that 80s guitar right in the middle of it. So again, we're talking about Back to School from 1986. This is the second of George's five flicks.
Yeah, the one-liners are just, you know, typical Rodney in Back to School. I think it's his masterpiece. I think it's better than Easy Money.
Yeah, I do too. I like it better than Easy Money. And then Wally Sparks had a couple of good lines in it.
That was good.
Yeah. And, I don't know. He left a little too early. Cocaine will do that to you.
Yeah.
But here's a little bit more of the Back to School soundtrack. We'll move on to flick number three in a moment. Yeah, you're listening to Watch This with Chris Earle. My guest today is George Wolfenden. To say it, but I think Rodney singing Twist and Shout isn't as good as Michael Bolton singing Everybody's Crazy.
That might be the favorite little tidbit I take away from you. Michael Bolton singing.
That's right. You got to go and find out his albums. So he had like a little metal rock and roll career from the mid-80s, Michael Bolton. This is Oingo Boingo in the background here, and we'll move on to flick number three, which is Ferris Bueller's Day Off from 1986. Time travel here with you. Well, actually, watch this. I've done that a couple of times now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is only show number three, so I keep saying it's time travel because I said it for 10 years.
Right.
Watch this here with you until 7 p.m. Here's a little more Oingo Boingo, and then we will go on to Ferris Bueller's Day Off from 1986. Be back in a moment.
Only me.
Here comes flick number three.
Ed Rooney.
Ed, this is George Peterson.
How are you today, sir?
Well, we've had a bit of bad luck this morning, as you may have heard.
Yeah, I heard, and well, I'm all broken up. Boy, what a blow.
Yeah. Well, it's been a tough morning, and we've got a lot of family business to take care of, so if you wouldn't mind excusing Sloan, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yo, I'd be happy to. Yeah, you just produce a corpse, and I'll release Sloan. I want to see this dead grandmother firsthand.
Ed.
It's all right, Grace. It's Ferris Bueller, that little twerp. I'm going to set a trap and let him fall right into it.
Ed, I'm sorry. Did you say you wanted to see a body?
Yeah, that's right. Just roll her old bones on over here, and I'll dig up your daughter. You know that school policy.
Oh?
Was this your mother?
No, my wife's mother.
Ed Rooney's office.
Hi, this is Ferris Bueller. Can I speak to Mr. Rooney, please? Thank you.
Hold.
I'll tell you what, dipshit. You don't like my policies, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt.
Ed!
Pucker up, buttercup.
What? Ferris Bueller's online, too.
How you doing? Listen, I'm sorry to disturb you at work, but I'm not feeling very well today.
And I was wondering if it might be possible for my sister to bring home any assignments for my classes that I might need.
Have a nice day.
Mr. Peterson? Yeah, no, I think I owe you an apology, sir.
Well, I should say you do. Well, I think you should be sorry, for Christ's sake. A family member dies, and you insult me. What the hell is the matter with you, anyway?
I really don't know, sir. I mean, I didn't think I was talking to you. I thought I was talking to somebody else. You know, sir, that I would never deliberately insult you like that. I can't begin to tell you how embarrassed I am.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
What do you want?
Asshole!
You're absolutely right, sir. You've hit the nail right in the head.
Find out where she is.
This isn't over yet, Buster. Do you read me?
Loud and clear, Mr. Peterson.
Call me sir, goddammit.
Yes, 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 sir, yes, sir.
That's better. Now you just mind your P's and Q's, Buster, and remember who you're dealing with.
Bueller. Ferris Bueller. Now, I'm a little scared, because what if he recognizes my voice?
Impossible. You're doing great.
Sound. And more beautiful.
All right, flick number three is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That, of course, is Yellow with Oh Yeah. That's such a great tone.
Yes.
In the background, you got Wayne Newton with Donka Shane. This is interesting about this soundtrack is it never came out. He didn't want to have a soundtrack. John Hughes really upset like A&M because he didn't put out a soundtrack for this. What he did was, I guess he had like a John Hughes fan club after the success of Breakfast Club and 16 Candles and all that. And what he did was he did a two-sided 45 with just two songs on it. He didn't feel like the soundtrack with all the music would have been, he didn't think it really would go together very well, so he didn't want to do a soundtrack to the movie. Kind of weird. But yeah, director was John Hughes, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, comedy from 1986. Matthew Broderick's in it, of course, Alan Ruck, Mia Sara, who didn't really do too much after this movie, Jeffrey Jones, who's the principal, of course, Jennifer Grey, who went and changed her nose after a couple of more movies after this. She was the big Dirty Dancing girl. And, of course, Charlie Sheen is in it in the end in a little bit more than a cameo. So it's a high school wise guy who's determined to have a day off from school despite what Principal Rooney thinks of that. Studio is Paramount Pictures. It was rated PG-13. Came out in the summer of 1986. The runtime is an hour and 43 minutes. Again, Hughes noted that he had sent 100,000 7-inch vinyl singles that contained two songs featured in the film to members of his fan list. Otherwise, the soundtrack didn't come out for this. It said the only official soundtrack that Ferris Bueller's Day Off ever had was for his mailing list. A&M was very angry with me over that, and they begged me to put one out, and I thought, who would want all these songs? What kids want Danka Shane and Oh Yeah on the same record?
This
I
kid.
Know I would. Yeah. They probably already had Twist and Shout, or their parents did, and to put all those together with the more contemporary stuff like the English Beat, I didn't think anybody would like it. But I did put together a 7-inch record of the two songs I own the rights to, which was Beat City and I forget one of the other English bands on the soundtrack. And that was sent to my mailing list. By 86, 87, it was costing us $30 a piece to mail out 100,000 packages, but it was a labor of love. So that's what John Hughes said in an interview in 1987 on that. The soundtrack was finally released in 2005. They put it out on CD. But I was able to grab a couple of things from there. You know, what was interesting is here's one of the other English songs, I believe, in the background when they're racing down the street in the Ferrari. Do you remember the name of this one?
I don't remember the name of it. I remember the tune, though.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Beat City.
Yeah, this is Beat City, right. And the other one was Twist and Shout, of course. Rodney was singing in Back to School. For some reason, the Beatles were big that summer or something because they showed up in like all these different movies, Twist and Shout, because that's when they're at the ball game, right? They all start singing Twist and Shout, or they're downtown. They're in the parade
right
downtown.
Shit.
Yeah. I haven't seen this one in a while. I planned on watching this before today, but I didn't get a chance to. So tell me why you picked Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It's another one of those binge watch ones from the 80s that just sticks with me through the years. I think this has got to, I mean, it's John Hughes. It's probably my favorite John Hughes movie.
It's kind of different than all the other John Hughes movies.
I was watching a documentary about the making of it, and I think John Hughes had mentioned, like, you know, his other films, 16 Candles, Pink Pink, they usually typically depict a teenager's worst day in their lives. This was the best day in a teenager's life.
It's
a little bit of a polar opposite from the mood and feeling of those other ones he's done.
Yeah, and it struck a nerve. I mean, this was a huge hit. I remember going into high school. I was going into ninth grade when this came out, and I remember a whole bunch of girls were saying their favorite movie. We were just kind of introducing ourselves in class, and I remember a bunch of girls that I liked said that they liked Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'm like, what movie is that? And yeah, it was a great flick. It made $70 million that summer on a budget of $6 million. So it was a cheap movie to make. It made $70 million. This is one of the reasons why the studio just loved John Hughes, too. He'd make a really cheap movie and make a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, like, you look at the budget for Back to School was $11 million. The budget for Ghostbusters was $30 million. You know?
Right.
And this one was only six, and it made $70 million.
Yeah,
pretty good return.
Got the most impressive profit margin.
It's got a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, which is pretty high. Usually you see anything above a 7 on IMDb, it's a pretty good score. It's usually a pretty good movie. One of the favorite things for me from this movie is the credits. Like that we have, oh yeah, we already played that, but you have Rooney at the very end of the movie. The movie's pretty much over. And you see him walking home from just his worst day ever. You know, the principal's been beaten by Ferris Bueller. You know, spoiler alert, he's been beaten by Ferris Bueller. And he's trying to walk home, and he gets picked up by what? A school bus full of kids who just look at him. And they're just like, oh, my. And meanwhile, he's been all, you know, he had the dog attacked him.
He's torn to shreds.
He's just a mess. And even better in the credits, at the very end, you see Ferris Bueller going into his kitchen to go get like a glass of milk or something. And he turns around and he's like, the movie's over. Go home. You know, it was really the first time you saw something like that. It was great.
Yeah, it was one of the first times in a movie they kind of break that third wall and have a character talk directly to the camera.
Yeah, all throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really good flick. I really enjoy this one, too. And again, like I said, I was going to get a chance to watch it this week. I watched a bunch of